I want you to turn, please, in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And we're going to read the first 12 verses. I've entitled tonight's message, Why Share of Our Hope in Christ? Acts chapter 1, verse 1. To 12. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering, by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you do at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things, whilst they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. May God bless the reading of his word. Amen. I was saddened a little while ago when, whilst on a course with another Christian organization, I heard their CEO give the following statement, that they were not there to Bible bash people, but to get amongst them and to provide for them in a practical way. Now, we in Sazra do not Bible bash people, but we do seek to share with them something of our hope in Christ, which gives us a certain hope in our eternal destination. For as I see it in my simple way, how can we say that we love our neighbour, that we want what is best for them, if we do not seek to share with them of our hope in our risen Saviour? It's a fair question. Let us listen to our Lord's exhortation prior to his ascension into glory, which he makes in Matthew 28, 19 to 20. And he says these words, Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. In the Mark 16, verse 15 to 16, he said these words, To go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, that he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. This is powerful stuff. But what exactly is it that they are to preach? Now, this is spelt out clearly in Luke 24:47, where it says the following words. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Notice, it's not church tradition, nor is it man's ideas, but repentance and remission of sins. And we'll look at what it means to repent and to know remission of your sins in a little while. There are those that would argue that these exhortations are just aimed at the apostles and or at those who were called to be evangelists. But let's see what the Apostle Peter has to say about this in 1 Peter 3:15. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Notice that the emphasis is on meekness and fear, and not just crashing around with that judgmental attitude. It also says that we are all called to share of our hope in Jesus Christ. But that being the case, why is it so important? Why the need to share of our hope in Christ? Why the importance of being repentant and knowing the remission of your sinful ways? Well, I would say it's all to do with your eternal destination. It's about what happens when we die, when we breathe our last on this mortal world. I remember when, as a little child, like Sam, I used to be taken to church. I used to go to Sunday school. I used to attend the lessons. We used to hear the stories. And I remember as a child, I would hear of these two destinations. I'd hear of heaven and I'd hear of hell. And in my simple way, what I heard of heaven sounded pretty good. And what I heard of hell was definitely, in my little mind, someplace I didn't want to go. But how do you make sure you go to one and not the other? Because trust me, these two destinations are very real. There is no middle ground. There are no other alternatives. When we breathe our last, we are heading for one of two places. So let's look at what the Bible has to say about these different destinations. Indeed, let us look at what Jesus himself has to say about them. I'm not going to enforce each point with many reasons, but with only one. For it's the Lord of hosts himself who is speaking in each case, and we need to ask ourselves this. How many times does he have to say something before we take it seriously? Are we like a child who has to be told many times by their parent before we do what we should? Or do we know what it is to fear God, as it states in the scriptures? Is it not apt that we are called to take God at his word? I want to look in the book of Revelation 21, verse 1 to 7, and see what the Apostle John and then what the Lord of hosts has to say about the destination that awaits those who are his. Let's have a look. Revelation 21, 1 to 7. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. And then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. I'm asked, as I go about my duties, my work, I'm asked from time to time, surely, don't all people go to heaven? And sadly, many people believe this false teaching, and the situation is not helped tragically by those ordained by men who preach this lie. And to find the simple answer, let's go on to read verse 8, he says as he's put his mouth back. What does it say? Verse 8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So the answer, tragically, is quite clearly no. Not all people do go to heaven. Now let us read about the reality of hell. And the reading I want to use for this is found in Matthew 25, 31 to 45. It's our Lord speaking. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And the king will say to those on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer to them, saying, Assuredly, I say to you, insomuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. I'm asked occasionally, is this truly forever? Well, verse 46 reinforces what we've already heard in 41 when it says, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So sadly and tragically, the answer is yes, hell is forever. Everlasting punishment, eternal life. I'm asked from time to time, is there any hope or opportunity to pass from hell to heaven? And there are those who would say that should we find ourselves in hell when we have a reality check, when we realize the awful truth, can't things be changed? Well, let me read to you an account that Jesus gave, which included the answer to this very question. And it's found in Luke 16, 19 to 31. It's a well-known passage. It's about Lazarus. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fed sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed from the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And so it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. And Abraham said to him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham. But if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to them, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Notice in verse 26 where it says these words, that besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Once someone has died, it does not matter how much you may pray for his or her soul, once they've breathed their last, their eternal destination is sealed. There is no crossing from one destination to the other. And this hereby is the urgency of our task as scripture readers, for experience has shown us that none of us know how long we are for this world, whether we may get our 70 and 10, or whether we get to 27. I've been to too many funerals. I know the reality of that answer. So my exhortation today to those who are the Lord's is this. Do not allow fear of what people may think of you and how they will react to what you have to say stop you from seeking to share with someone the hope that you have in Christ. Who knows, you may be the only person who has shared the simple gospel of Christ with them. For the possibility is that all they may know is man's religion with its rules and regulations. So please, seek to share the wonderful news that they can know forgiveness of their sinful ways and that they may know and they may have a sure knowledge of a heavenly destination that awaits them, prepared by the Master Craftsman himself, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And to those who have yet to know the reality of this for themselves, the eternal destinations that you've heard about are very real. So please, if you have yet to come to the foot of the cross, please do so. Acknowledge your sinful state before God. Ask Him to forgive you for your sinful ways. And invite Jesus into your life as both Lord and Saviour. Do not delay. For who knows what tomorrow may bring? One thing we can be certain of is that one day we will all stand before our Maker and we'll have to give an account of our lives. And if we're not His through repentance and faith, then we can only expect our just deserts with all of those who have refused to acknowledge Jesus, the one who came, that we might be saved. May Almighty God bless His word unto our hearts this day. Amen.